Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From theblogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I'm Qualler.
I'm Bridget.
And our opinions are valid. It's been a really long time since we've recorded.
I know, it's been like a million, a gazillion, million
gajillion
years.
Even.
A gajillion. Fulfillion. That's not a one.
It is in my book. It is in my book. It is.
Yeah, so we're back.
We've
ready
had
to party.
A lot of adventures since the last time we recorded an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that we put out last week was our best of 2012, but we actually recorded that like at the beginning of January.
Yeah.
And since then, we've seen a lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of television adventures.
A lot of television.
We've gone on a lot of journeys without ever having to leave the comfort of our own living room.
But also, we left the comfort of our living room.
To go on one journey.
To go on one journey. Which we'll talk about later.
Yeah. But first, we're going to talk about...
Well, we have what could be a fairly filled docket, but we'll pare it down a little bit so as to not overwhelm the listener with greatness. I'm just going to put it out there. This podcast is going really great so far.
You can't tell, but I'm rolling my eyes really hard.
Yeah. That eye roll was audible, actually.
We want to go through what we've been watching the past month or so.
Yeah.
So, some current stuff, some girls, enlightened bunheads. We finally just now finished Parenthood, finally.
Just finally watched
the season finale
tonight.
Don't we
usually devote an entire hour to Parenthood?
Yeah, usually.
But are we going to do that this time? I don't feel as compelled to do that for some reason.
Me neither.
For this last chunk of the season. Yeah. And then we'll talk a little bit about
our great adventure.
Our current catch-up adventure, which is Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
We will talk about all of those things, starting with...
Girls.
Girls.
Eh.
how do you really feel about the new season of Girls?
Eh.
Yeah. Is that all we're going to say about Girls?
Eh. I don't like what happened with Glover's character.
Donald Glover.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
they introduce him at the end of the first episode as Hannah's new black Republican boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
In the second episode, he's actually an interesting part of the cast. It seems like, and they have one, I think, kind of cool conversation that I appreciate, and then they break up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, okay, after the breakup, he'll still be a character that we deal with this season because Hannah will be learning how to deal with a more diverse, I don't know how to say that. But so I feel like this character was a direct response to the criticism.
Yeah.
And I feel like part of the conversation that they have in the second episode is like directly addressing that. And
right.
I actually feel like they do that in a very like smart way.
Right.
That like... demonstrates, like, yes, Hannah as a character has, like, a lot of prejudices that she's walking around with, and she's living in this very sheltered world where the kind of, like, New York 20-something hipsters that fancy themselves very progressive but are actually maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not as progressive as they think. So she's also walking around with a lot of assumptions and... things about the way the world works, and you kind of get a sense of, like, yes, this character is exactly what the critics are saying this character is, but instead of, like, having, like, this season be, like, a chance for Hannah's character to kind of grow in that sense through, like, a continued relationship with Donald Glover's character, I feel like they're like, well, okay, now it's over.
So
and he's not coming back, because I checked on IMDb.
So are you saying that you just wish that he was a regular?
I wish he was a regular character. And I wish that they would continue to like unpack that relationship, and that I feel like this could be an opportunity for Hannah's character to have like some real growth this season.
I can see that.
Like, I felt like that conversation that they had when they were breaking up, like, where he accused her of all kinds of things, and she was like, that's ridiculous, and then accused him of some things, and it was like a perfect, like, just well-written, that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so, like, by the end of the second episode, I was feeling really excited about where that would go, and mm-hmm. it's, the fact that it's not going anywhere makes me feel a little cheated as a viewer. Like, it almost makes me feel like, okay, now we've addressed the criticism.
Well,
and now that part is over, but, and we're going to continue with whatever, like, the other agenda for the characters are, which, like, that's fair. They can do what they want, but I was excited by that character and by mm-hmm. that, like, possible mm-hmm. arc for Hannah's character.
Well,
and I feel kind of, like, cheated that it's just over now.
I think I agree with you to a point, in that, that the conversation that you're talking about, that scene was, I agree, it was really, like, funny and
but also, like, really, like, poignant and, like, biting and, like,
right.
I don't know.
And I think, yeah. Yeah, I guess I would have liked to see more of that relationship. And I think, to me, what's been, so far, making me feel like if last season was, like, an A minus to an A type season, so far, this season is like a B to a B plus for me. Part of it, though, is that the third episode of the season was just like, that was like the first episode of Girls that I just didn't really like.
Episode was that? Where
she tried cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
And it just felt like it wasn't, I don't know, that felt more like, oh, I can actually start to see what the critics. What, you know, not the TV critics, but what the main criticisms of the show are, that it's a pointless show about people that
are just like creating their own problems for themselves,
right.
And living in this really like white privileged sheltered world and not able to see that, which like those can be interesting characters if like something like comes in and breaks them out of that. Or helps them to see that. And
I don't see the show as like, this is a show that needs to constantly be addressing white privilege.
No, it isn't constantly. Okay, forget it. It doesn't constantly need to be addressing white privilege. I was saying, these are characters living in their very white, privileged world.
Right.
So that, not that the show has to constantly be addressing it, but what you're saying is that, like, the criticism is, like, this is a show where nothing's really happening, and part of that is, like, I don't empathize or care about these characters, because there aren't any real stakes in their lives. And I feel like part of the reason it seems like, because these aren't real problems,
that's where I fundamentally disagree with that argument
by nothing's happening. I don't feel like that overall about the show, but I feel like the third episode also kind of made me see that, like, okay, based on this episode, these are kind of bullshit things that these characters are dealing with, and I don't care about them the way I cared about the first season, where it was still kind of bullshit, like, problems, but like, I guess in the second season, I want them to kind of, like, get beyond that a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, even the characters on Sex and the City got beyond that. Like real shit started to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I guess I felt like, okay, the first episode was cool. The second episode, because the first episode is where she's, like, being confronted by Adam
mm-hmm.
and, like, dealing with that. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's some serious stuff. Like, that's mm-hmm. a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second episode is, like, being confronted by maybe, like, her own, like, racial prejudices. And that's, like, a real thing. And, like, a real place for growth.
Yeah.
But I feel like the third episode almost, like, went backwards, where it's like, we're just not gonna
the fourth episode,
Was that with
Gemma? It was kind of a Jessa.
Oh, Jessa, sorry.
It's kind of a Jessa
That one was back to kind of being real.
I think...
I don't know.
I tried to get you to watch the fifth episode tonight, but you said, eh. And I really wanted to watch that with you because of what reportedly happens in this episode is it is perhaps the most quote-unquote indulgent episode of Girls ever and is structured in a way that's almost kind of like an FU to the critics out there in terms of, oh, you think that this is indulgent? Well, check this out. And we'll just have to watch it and see what you think.
I guess. I don't know. I guess the whole, like, FU to the critics, like, I felt like the second episode was not, like, an FU to the critics. It was, like, actually, like, I heard, like, some of your criticisms, which, like, some of the criticisms were valid criticisms.
Yeah,
like, it wasn't all, like...
No, I agree.
You know, and it's like, I heard them, and this is, like, me addressing them, and I was excited to see how that... Not that that would have to become the focus of the show, or that the show constantly has to deal with, like, how are these characters understanding white privilege? Like, that doesn't have to become the theme, but, like, here's a character for that could help, like, with Hannah in terms of, like, having some kind of growth for her as a character that also, like, actually, like, it says, like, hey... Like, I heard criticism. Like, I heard you.
Right.
And I'm actually, like, doing something about it.
Yeah.
And then I feel like it was, like, kind of a slap in the face to, like, have them, although maybe realistic, I don't know, to have them break up and then that's over. And we, like, never go there again. I guess I don't know for sure that we never go there again, but I know that his character's not coming back.
Yeah. So. I guess I just, I don't know. I'm just, I feel very exhausted from that main conversation being, like, the only thing that anybody talks about the show.
But I don't think that that's fair, like, because that's not the only thing that I've talked about the show.
I know.
But like, something about, like, the way the first, second, and third episodes were structured made me, like, okay.
See
like,
that.
Well, I mean, some of the criticisms are valid, and that doesn't mean that it can't still be a good show.
Right. No, I know.
You know what I mean? But, like, I feel like a really good show and good writers and good producers, like, can, like, take that criticism and take some of it that might be valid points that they didn't see and work it into a second season. And I feel like they kind of did that and then didn't. And then it makes me feel like I was, like, sucked in and, like, almost, like, tricked as a viewer.
Mm.
Like, it almost, like, where it was like, oh, you thought, no, we're not doing it.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it almost felt like an FU to the viewer, which I don't think that, I don't think that was the intention at all, but, like,
mm-hmm.
That's how this viewer felt about it.
Mm.
And it made me wonder about, like, the growth of the show in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it just going to keep, like, doing... Is it going to listen to anything and or, like, have the characters grow or change? Or is it going to be, like, the same?
I guess...
I don't know.
One thing that has made me feel slightly more meh about the season in general is the relationships on the show... Basically, what's happening on the show feels a lot more like Sex in the City than last season did in just structurally, just the way that the show is set up. It's now basically set up to be about, like, Hannah and Adam versus Hannah and other guys that are in her life. And Jessa and Thomas John, is that his name?
Yeah.
Which I really, really liked the fourth episode and, like, that whole, I really liked Jess's character finally starting to develop a little bit. And then it's becoming, but then it's Shoshana and Adam, which are, no, not Adam, Ray.
Yeah.
I
like that. I
still really, really enjoy, like, all of their interplay and what's going on. Just generally enjoy watching it, but I also am starting to feel like it's setting up in a way that it's ending up to be basically a relationship show, like Sex and the City eventually became mainly about relationships. And, like, I don't think that's really, I mean, we're only, like, four episodes into the 10 episode season. I still think there's a lot of things that can happen. The episode that aired last night, some have compared it to, like, Louis in the sense that it just, like, shakes up the structure of the show in a lot of ways, even if it's just for one episode, which I'm the most excited by television right now that breaks the mold of what's supposed to happen on a TV show, which is why I shake my fist at House of Cards, but we can talk about House of Cards another time, and I can break out my Kevin Spacey impression.
That was supposed to be Kevin Spacey?
Yeah, you. I told you that he's the worst Southern accent.
I thought you
of all
were
time.
Being Forrest Gump.
No, I was being. Here's a bit that
Wait,
I wanted
no,
to.
No, let's. Okay.
Yeah, let's finish Girls.
I want to. Okay, so, go ahead. I'm just. This is maybe kind of occurring to me now that hearing you talk about the relationship stuff. Like, so I don't have a problem if it's just a show about relationships because, really, I guess. To a certain extent, all shows are about relationships.
Right.
Or the fear of intimacy.
Right.
Like True Blood.
or The Following.
Or The Following. But, like, I think it's specifically the way relationships seem to get handled that have made me, that I see also, like, kind of a sex, and I was a big Sex and the City fan up through season 3.
Mm.
And
you still own all 6 seasons,
I know.
Bridget,
I was young. I was really young.
You still watch, you don't watch them as often.
I don't.
That's true.
No, and I like Sex and the City. I thought it was a funny show. I thought when it was funny. And but
yeah,
anyway.
I definitely liked it before it
became kind of soap opery. But yeah. So the thing that, like, the pattern that I see emerging is that not that it's a problem because the show is about relationships, but this show seems to be, like, about these, like, disposable relationships in a way that, like, frustrates me and makes me not want to watch it as much.
Mm.
So, like, the minute things started to go kind of wrong with her new boyfriend, Hannah, they break up and that's it. And we never see him again.
Yeah.
This big, like, fight with, like, Thomas John also, like, now it's over. And I wonder if we'll ever see him again. So, like, that's the pattern that I see that also, like, irritated me with Sex and the City, where it was, like, you end up in a situation where if it's going to be about relationships, they are, like, relationships that, like, end really abruptly.
So would you compare it then to, like, Hannah and Adam is, like, Carrie and Mr. Big, and that, like,
maybe.
And that, like,
And any other boyfriend that comes in out of her life,
Marty,
like,
and What's-His-Face are, like, Miranda and What's-His-Face?
Oh, except Marnie's not really a Miranda. Whatever. No, I don't know. I just, like,
I
was irritated that the relationships are just like, oh, we had a fight.
I know, but granted, that was what it was like when we were, like, in our 20s.
No, it wasn't. We started dating when we were 21.
Well, not we, but, like, we as a society of other fellow, like, 20-somethings. Which, like,
I guess it just makes me wonder if, like, these, again, like, going back to, like, in this season, I defended these characters from the first season. I like these characters. I actually feel like they are all sympathetic, but, like, horribly flawed and frustrating in the way that, like, indulgent early 20-somethings are horribly flawed. And, like, I don't want to be friends with them. Sorry.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, like, and then, like, if they were my friends or if I were in their life, if Hannah was my younger sister and she was, like, whining about shit to me, I'd be like, just get your shit together.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
That. And that's how I feel about these characters. Yeah. But I love them and I care about them.
Right.
But now it's season 2. And I want to see them slowly start to get their shit together.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like they've gone backwards,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, mostly indicative in the way that these relationships just seem to, like, at the first sign of trouble. Which maybe that's not fair to say about Jessa and Thomas John, but,
really,
like,
I don't think it's really fair to say that about
Hannah, at least.
Hannah and Adam, or
not
Shoshana.
About Hannah, not Hannah and
or
Adam,
Shoshana.
But Hannah and...
I don't really think that Donald Glover's character were, like, meant to be a relationship.
Out, like,
I don't really think that's...
But I wanted them to be.
I know, but
and
the
she
show
throws,
is...
And she throws out her friend from once he says that he's...
Marnie. Like, oh.
Yeah, what's his name? I can't remember any of their names.
Should we move on to Enlightened?
Okay, fine.
Fine. It's an abrupt ending.
I don't know. I want to see some growth and... I'm not going to give up on it, but at this point in the season,
well, of course.
I don't see these characters, like, growing very much in a way that is, like, frustrating to me as a viewer to the point of me not wanting to be invested in these people's lives anymore.
Fair enough. Let's talk about Enlightened. And this is probably my favorite show that's on right now.
I don't get it.
What? How do you not get it?
Okay.
You don't get
that. I dislike Laura Dern's character so much that it could not be my favorite show. I'm starting to like it more and more that I'm watching it because of all the other characters in it.
Well, let me explain why it's my favorite show on the air right now. It's like the only show that I can think of that really explores like the inner self. And you're groaning, and I know, but like it's really fascinating to me to be basically the show that takes place inside Amy Jellicoe, played by Laura Dern's head, is what she is thinking is so like different from how she's acting, and to me that's really like. Really fascinating, you know. It's just like a really interesting way that the show is structured.
Hello, Dexter does that.
No.
What?
I mean, yeah, but not really. I mean, I don't know. It's that part of it I really like. I wasn't sure that I was going to be into the new season that is focused more on. The corporate espionage.
See, I like that better because I feel like it's interesting. But, so I like it now that there's that focus.
But yeah, I think here's what I would say about that is the focus on the corporate espionage thing kind of gives it an external focus, but it's still kind of developing the inner world of Laura Dern, of Amy Jellicoe. And I really admire. Like, I can see, like, what's going on in her brain and, like, but I can also see how she's not really committing to what, like, her great plans are in her brain, which is a struggle that is, like, is something I've never seen on TV in general. And it's really fascinating for me to see as it's starting to develop more and more. The second episode of the season where she basically got the other guy... fired and like pinned she and Tyler played by the showrunner Mike White basically got him fired and like what she was like thinking was so different from like what she was actually doing. What she was thinking was like, oh, I'm gonna steal this password because this is for the greater good, but like what she was actually doing was really selfish and like was not, it was screwing somebody over somebody personally over, basically.
Here's another character that's a main character of a show that, like, I like having these main characters who are, like, I would consider her probably even more so than Hannah, because she's older and should know better.
Right.
Like, to be an incredibly flawed person.
Right.
Unlike,
aren't we all flawed,
Bridget? And kind of similar to Hannah, like, here's, like, a lead character who is, like, a very flawed person but incredibly introspective. So we see it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, an interest... And a character who seems like they're always... Who has convinced themselves that they... Or who genuinely thinks that they are always working to be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that they are a good person and they care about people and that they are self-critical... They are aware of their flaws, but they're working really hard to be a better, to be the kind of person they want to be.
Mm.
I think that that's where Hannah is, too.
Okay.
And the characters on that show.
Okay.
I feel like that's where Amy is, and we actually get to hear her vocalize that with her internal monologue, which I agree is an interesting, different thing. But...
You're just not into...
I think that even her inner monologue, even her, like... hopes that she isn't able to realize for herself, even those are selfish. Like, I feel like she, like, it's not just that, like, she has these, like, good intentions and then doesn't know how to carry them out because her actions are really selfish. I think even the good intentions are coming from this extremely self-centered place where she is only able to, like, enact good in the world from her own point of view And I'm not being super articulate, but, like, I feel, like, so I think it's interesting to have this character who maybe, I don't know, I don't want to make a claim about what they represent for the writers, but, like, if I were to write, like, a paper on this, maybe, right? She could represent, like, what's wrong with American culture, or what's wrong with, like, neoliberal American culture, where you think, like, in order to change the world and make it a better place, you just start with yourself, and it kind of ripples outwards, right? But, like, this is still, like, a self-centered notion of, like, making the world a better place. And, like, I feel like she's very focused on herself, and, like, all of her, her inner monologue, like, I like it as, like, a device, but everything she thinks just, like, makes me hate her character. And I, for some reason, I don't have sympathy for her, because it's just, like, it's like, well, she's so self-centered. Like, she's so selfish. And I feel like she's done all this, like, work to try to make herself better, but, like, it's still so selfish. Like, and every interaction she has with Tyler, and, like, every other person on the show, I think demonstrates how self-centered she is. And how she's not ever really thinking about anyone before herself. Now, having said that, I like Tyler's character. I actually like all the other I like her as a character, but, like, this is another one that I wonder if there's any possibility for growth for her. Or, like, if she's starting off the show at this point, like, is it by the end of the show, is she ever going to get to a point where she, like, has, like, a realization that, like, she's not doing things?
Bridget, you just have to, like, be in the here and now and not worry about, is she going to grow? You have to be...
Shut up.
I'm kind of serious, though. I mean, well, like, I just really enjoy what the show is doing.
If I'm in the here and now, then I'm just annoyed with, like, I don't want to watch her.
All right.
Like, I don't like her. And this hurts me to say because of how much I like Laura Dern, too.
Okay.
Thing that was the turning point for me that made me like the show and want to watch it, actually, was the episode that was all about Luke Wilson's character.
That's what I was just going to... So I am very excited to watch that.
Well, I love Tyler, that episode. And I liked the episode.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
Luke, so, like,
and this and yesterday's episode was all about Tyler.
One thing about the Luke Wilson bottle episode... It's not technically a bottle episode, but it's... a self-contained episode of a mostly serialized show, is Luke Wilson is, like, a really great actor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I feel like that really gets underrated by the movies he's in and how kind of understated he is and how he's, like, the lesser of the Wilson brothers.
Is he really?
I think in terms of, like, how well-known he is and, his success.
I mean, him way better than Owen.
Yeah, I really like Owen Wilson, even though he's in a lot of, like, dumb movies also. But, like, Luke Wilson, he sneaks up on you. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty great. Mm-hmm. I really, really, really like that episode. So far, I really like this season as a whole.
I do like this season better, and despite all my complaints about Amy... Like, I think it's an interesting, she's an interesting lead character, but she bugged me so much last season that I couldn't get into it.
And this season, still makes me feel, like, really nervous.
Yeah, she still bugs me a lot
when
this season.
When she goes into, like, Kirsten, what's her name? Kirsten?
I don't, when she goes into, like, Lucille Ball, like, scheming mode, that makes me nervous. But she's I don't know if she's growing on me, but, like, the show itself is growing on me.
Mm.
So, like, I do, like, find myself wanting to watch it more than I did before. And currently, I find myself wanting to watch it more than I want to watch Girls.
Yeah.
Like, I feel more interested in, like, what's going to happen with the company stuff and what's going to happen with
I would agree. Plus Tyler. Dermot Mulroney, who is better than Dylan McDermott.
Mm-hmm. But still not great.
I would put Dermot Mulroney... almost on the same level as Tate Donovan.
Don't say it. Really?
Is that what you thought I was going to say? Oh. Mm-hmm. We love each other so much.
Mm-hmm.
We had to stop the episode a little bit ago because we were getting too heated and we got into a fight. I accidentally called Bridget self-centered. And
it wasn't an accident.
Well, it was a joke, but it was a little meaner than I anticipated.
It was really mean.
We're all very sorry.
I disagree with you on a TV show.
We're all very sorry.
We're not sorry. You did this to us, listeners.
We're all very sorry.
You're the reason we're getting
a divorce. Let's talk about something we both think is A plus rather than like A versus B minus or B plus. Bunheads. Season. This is technically, according to wacky season, ABC family rules, this is still the first season.
Yeah. Well, it's season one, part deux of Bunheads
has
made me like it more than I like Gilmore Girls.
Yeah.
And that's really saying something.
That's a high compliment. Here's what I would say why I don't really count this as the continuation of the first season. Because it's no longer like a WB show. It's not, or not, sorry, it's no longer an ABC family show.
Yeah.
It's no longer, even just like basic, like stylistically, it's not an ABC family show that has like extreme zoom-ins on Alan Ruck's face in the style of like The Secret Life of the American Teenager. It's developed a world, a universe. It's maybe not as like setting wise, it's not as charming as Stars Hollow, but it's
kind of getting there.
The characters are becoming more of a part of the show, like the external characters of Paradise. What state is Paradise in?
California.
Paradise, California. Okay. Yeah. And of course, like, the dialogue is great.
I like, Sutton really Foster like more Sutton. And more.
Yeah, I really, really like her a lot.
I like, the stuff that's happening in her life. I like the girls.
Yeah, I like the girls a lot.
I even like these new weird characters that at first I was like, where is this going?
I really like where Truly has gone as a character, which is, like, weirder than Kirk. I I'm still laughing about her, like, cardboard kitchen. But it's just, like, amazing. I don't know.
I liked the most recent episode that I saw, which is not tonight's episode. So last week's episode, where her, what's her name's? What's the main character's name?
We are really bad at podcasting right now.
Apparently. Sutton Foster's character.
Sutton Foster.
Whose name is something
is
that I should...
It is not Fanny, who is played by Kelly Bishop.
And it's not Boo.
It's not Boo.
I'm going to think of it.
It's...
Is it Lisa?
Lisa. Lisa.
We'll just call her...
We love Lisa.
She
is just the best.
What is her name?
Good old Michelle.
Michelle. Duh.
Really? Michelle?
You didn't know. Michelle. So Michelle's character... Michelle's brother comes to visit. And liked that episode a lot.
And it was not just one episode. It's been a couple... few episodes,
Oh, that's
actually.
Right. Yeah. So what happened in the most recent one? Sasha had her party?
Yeah, Boo left town or something.
Boo left town?
Yeah. Not Boo. Sasha left town. Somebody left town in the last episode. Sasha.
I don't think she left town.
Yeah, she left town.
No, she got an apartment. Her parents left town and she got her own apartment.
Oh, is that the girl whose parents are fat? No, that's Boo.
Yeah. Did you even watch it? Maybe you've just been sleeping, and that's why you think it's really good.
Oh, God. Bunheads.
Check it out.
It's good.
There's dancing.
There is definitely dancing.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
It's been kind of a rough few weeks.
Been tired. Been real tired. No, but so apparently I can't remember any details of anything. but I really like it.
Paris is back.
And this
not actually Paris,
right.
Liza Weil, who plays Paris on Gilmore Girls, is back and plays a Paris like character who's I really, really, really also liked when she was revealed as Truly's
sister.
First as landlord, and then it was like, oh, it's also her sister.
Yeah, I liked that.
Like that made
scene.
Me laugh a lot. Also, like what made me laugh the most, and I'm still laughing about, is the YouTube video where they took mace in your face,
and they auto-tuned
it.
Yeah,
auto-tuned the news styled.
Yeah, that was really funny.
It makes me laugh. But it also makes me cry.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's like a warm hug.
From an old friend.
Except that Sutton Foster is maybe a better Lorelai than Lorelai.
Don't say it. No one will ever be Lorelai.
Okay, not better, but she's different, better in a better,
but different way.
But different way.
So I can't remember anything about it, but I know that I've really been enjoying it. And I'm always in the mood to watch it. Like, whenever I feel like I don't know what to watch, like, Bunheads is always one. And I like watching the episodes more than once, too.
Yeah, so that's helpful when you watch it when I'm at work and you are at home. Mm-hmm. And then I come home and I can watch it with again. You again.
Yeah.
Lately, I've been in, like, not really wanting to watch, like, super intense, serious things mm-hmm. kind of mood. Which is also why I'm sort of watching House of Cards, but, like, also making fun of it a lot and then quitting because
of
all
sleep. What is House of Cards about?
It's about us in the Congress in Washington. There are two kinds of congressmen. There are the dogs, and there are the dogs that bite. And I am a dog that bites. I'm looking at the camera right now. This is my southern accent.
So that's
my name
Forrest
is Kevin
Gump?
Spacey.
Okay.
I'm Kevin Spacey from the show House of
Cards. Sound
a
little bit like Poe from Con Air, the best action movie ever.
Right. And that's what his accent sounds like. I need you to, like...
It's okay.
Just because it's a show that has a 13-episode arc that's super serious doesn't mean it's an automatically great show, everyone. Also, I don't want to have to binge watch something Netflix marketing department. Okay, I've been tweeting a lot about these thoughts on House of Cards.
Wait, it's a show that's just on Netflix? That's weird.
Yeah.
Does Netflix do that a lot? Hey, isn't Netflix our sponsor?
Yes, they are. I just realized that was... I love House of Cards. It's my favorite show.
You don't have to say that, but I love Netflix.
I do. I'm glad that
Netflix let
we
me
have
watch,
the opportunity to binge
Friday
watch
the 13th. It. Netflix let me watch The Game for the first time. Which, if you haven't seen that little Michael Douglas treat, I would recommend it. Because, boy, I didn't know it was missing in my life. That was great. I almost liked it better than Con Air.
Wow.
Almost.
I really like the setup for The Game, but I really hate the ending.
Oh, I loved the ending. Because I got too nervous. And then it was like, it's okay.
Turns out that it was all just
it's
fine.
It's okay. Well, it's not just that it was all just fine. It's that...
It kind of was.
He needed to feel like he was really going to... Like
okay.
He really had something to lose.
Yeah.
Don't
well,
you
then,
see, Mark?
Then just
Don't you see?
Then just watch It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, my God.
It's basically The Game is just It's a Wonderful Life, but in a
You're
thriller
dumb.
Package.
You're
and,
dumb.
Okay, but...
I don't want to fire you again.
If Mad Men ends the way that... The game ends, I would really, really, really be happy. If Mad Men ends with Don Draper being, like, at the end of the 60s and everyone being like, you have to jump from this building, and then it, like, goes to, like, the credits, and then he crashes through, and then it's like...
A surprise party.
It was all just a surprise birthday party for you, Don. We love you, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's... That
so
would be great.
Netflix?
Netflix. Well, Netflix is our sponsor, like you said. You can go to bit.ly/blogflix to check out a 2-week free membership trial after that.
And then
that,
you can watch The Game.
$8 a month, and then you can watch The Game as many times as you want, or House of Cards.
Or
you
Dawson's Creek.
Binge watch it, or you can watch it one episode at a time, which is the way that I prefer
yeah,
to watch television.
You don't have to binge watch it just because it's on Netflix.
I know, but the thing is that they're really pushing, like, this is a show you need to binge watch. Just watch it all over one long weekend where you're bleary-eyed and never go outside, which is fine. But, like, it makes me nervous. Like, it makes me feel like if I don't watch it that way, then I'm... not watching it the right way. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's, like, an internal thing, which...
Yeah.
But, like, I don't like to feel that way. I want to just, like, feel like I can watch House of Cards at a pace that I feel comfortable
so
at.
So you need Netflix to give you permission to watch it at a pace that you feel comfortable at? That seems
I don't,
sort of ridiculous.
What? No, Netflix is trying to tell me to not watch it. They're trying to, like, accelerate the pace that I watch
well,
it
they're at. Probably just advertising this is the way you can do it because it's on Netflix. So for a lot of people
I know that they're doing that. I'm just saying that that's how it makes me feel.
All right.
So, anyway, let's talk about parenthood.
Yeah. Do we have anything else to say about Bunheads? Anything intelligent at all?
I don't think so.
I was all set to talk about it because I was like, oh, yeah, that's a show that I've been watching that I've been really enjoying.
Watch Bunheads.
Oh, what are their names?
Michelle? Really? Toy Factory. Does Adam work at a toy factory? That was a flashback to a previous episode of Parenthood.
Yeah.
Parenthood ended.
We finally
finished the season, and
we put it off for a long time, that last episode.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I love Parenthood, but I was kind of ready for the season to wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling a little bit like Parenthood overdose.
Yeah, and this episode didn't really help that.
No, and it was like,
I mean, don't get me wrong, I cried.
Yeah, oh yeah, I had some tears. I definitely had some tears. but it's like, Parenthood just doesn't know how to do a season finale at all.
Without like, just wrapping everything
without
up
just
totally.
Being like, and that's the end of every plot. Goodbye. Without, like, really super abruptly being like, oh, well, I guess we better wrap things up. Because ultimately, like, the show is at its best when it's just, like, a free-flowing, like,
mm-hmm.
Max finds a lizard and, like, has pubes and stuff. Like, that's, like, Parenthood at its peak. So, like, when Parenthood is, like, forced to, like, get to a place where it has, like, some kind of, like, quote-unquote natural conclusion, it's just, like, feels really...
It feels rushed, yeah.
Like, sloppy.
I think every season finale has...
Yeah, like, there's never been, like, a season finale where I was like, this was a satisfying conclusion to this season. Which, I think it's just the nature of the show, is that it's not really a show that is... that does... its best work in a
these are not
serialized...
plot lines that are working towards conclusions.
Yeah,
but
that's
it,
the thing.
But
I
then
think.
It feels
yeah.
like, oh, now it's a season finale and people want these to be
right.
tied up, so we're going to tie it up.
Which, like, I understand that that's, like, what TV convention says, that mm-hmm. you need to finish a season this way in, like, we're going to wrap up all these plots, but I wish that the season finale.
I wish someone had the balls to say.
I wish we had a Will McAvoy to just, like,
yeah.
tell it like it is.
To say, like, convention be damned.
Right.
We're going to do the right thing.
Capital R, capital T.
Yeah.
But seriously, I do wish that, I feel like it's a show that for the most part, through the rest of the season, doesn't follow convention. Very strongly. I mean, ultimately, it's still, like, if you were going to give it a genre, which you easily could, you would say this is in the genre of TV dramedy, like,
yeah.
family dramedy.
Yeah.
But, like, I also feel like it's not always structured in a way that lends itself to the way that it ends its seasons.
Yeah.
Like, so... Oh, man. I don't know.
Well,
and, like,
it's, like, in one episode... We adopted Victor, and Sydney finally, after an entire season long
right.
of, like, showing no sign of doing so,
right.
finally, like, accepted him as her brother into
right.
her life, and now everyone's happy about that. In the same episode, Luke and Amber are back together.
Ryan
whatever.
Is his name in the show.
but,
yeah, I know what you mean.
And, yeah, Ryan and Amber are back,
they're
together,
back together,
and they fixed all that.
The
and
cancer's
he,
gone.
And he made things right with Joel. Yeah, the cancer's
made
gone.
Made things right with Joel.
Sarah chose between Hank and Mark. Mark, and apparently is moving to Minnesota. Drew gets into college, has a nice little conversation with Amy that suggests that the whole abortion thing is...
It's all right.
It's all... We all
it's feel all wrapped
good about
up.
It's all
you
wrapped up, and we're fine.
We're going to college.
I'll never forget you. I'll never forget you either. Well, see ya. Max gets a lizard for his new cousin,
right,
I guess.
Victor.
Crosby finally apologizes to Jasmine's mom. That's
yeah.
all happy, and they're having a baby.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean,
yeah.
I was really happy.
It made me cry a little bit.
Yeah.
But, and then, who else? Oh, and me and...
The cancer's
and
gone.
And Zeke just watches, and Bonnie watch over it all.
Bonnie.
Quietly. Camille.
Yeah, and Drew gets into college. Yeah, you said that already. Yeah. Okay,
join us next season
Minnesota,
for a whole new set of problems.
Minnesota is not just a place where you can get an apartment. It's just anywhere in Minnesota. You can't just go be like, I'm going to move to Minnesota and find an apartment.
You're saying
there are cities. There are cities in Minnesota, is what I'm saying, Hank. There are cities. Which city are you going to choose, Hank?
Where specifically did your
daughter move? Are you? Are you?
I don't know, Minnesota.
Somewhere. I don't know. Some no. Either in International Falls or La Crescent. I don't know.
It's probably not where.
It's probably Minneapolis.
Probably Minneapolis.
You know what? He probably moved. I would guess that. Probably Minneapolis for him.
Why not say Minneapolis? Do most people in the country not know where Minneapolis is?
Because it's so unusual. It's such a strange part of the country that why would anybody think
all
of...
Right, let's all right. Calm down a little bit.
All right. Hey, we went to see... Are we moving on from Parenthood?
Yeah, so Parenthood, I would give this season finale like a C.
I would give the season finale a C, but I would give it
a like revise and C me. not an example of your best work.
Would you say, like, what happened there at the end?
Yeah, be like, I get it, it's the end of the semester, we're all tired.
We're all feeling tired, we know we want to just kind of coast to the end. Yeah. But
let's kind of rest on your better episodes.
You know, it's kind of a senior slide moment. We've all been there. We all understand.
Right.
Anyway.
So...
In addition to these
metaphorical journeys that we've taken from our couch,
right?
We for real journeyed to New York,
the great city of New York,
to attend the premiere party for Fox's. It's Fox, right?
Fox, yes.
The Following,
starring Kevin Bacon, James Purfoy, Natalie Zay.
Written by my hero,
Kevin Williamson,
who I got to meet briefly, and all I could manage to say was, "I'm a big fan." Giggle, and he was a nice guy. Even super nice guy. Took a picture with me. Even like nice enough to try to engage me in conversation. And I couldn't think of anything at all. I was just like, "Yeah, I like everything."
We basically both became incredibly starstruck in a way that
I did not expect. Was
extremely humiliating and thrilling at the same time.
Yeah, I smiled real big.
You smiled for like 8 hours straight after that. Like,
yeah.
You smiled more than our entire wedding night.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say.
I was like, here's an idea. Damon and Stefan.
And we were sitting right in front of Julie Plec, who was the showrunner of The Vampire Diaries.
I know, and I chickened out many times.
She walked by us so many times, and so many times I was going to be like, Julie Plec, I know who you are.
Because that's what you have to say. Because that's why it's hard when you actually meet people.
You realize that it's creepy.
Because there's no way to start a conversation with them that's not essentially saying, "Hey, I stalk you. I know who you are.
I read about you on the internet.
You don't know who I am. I have a podcast.
Right.
I'm also a writer, kind of.
And I got to sort of meet Giancarlo Esposito, co-star of Breaking Bad and Do the Right Thing and Star Trek TNG and Revolution on NBC. And we both got pictures with each of them. My picture on Twitter is of me and Giancarlo Esposito, and it's very exciting.
And we got a nice meal.
Yeah, the food
nice party.
Was effing fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It was obviously a party for industry people, and we were the weirdos there.
Right. Okay. I saw Michael Osiello, and I almost talked to him, but then I got scared.
So, if you're listening, guys, we're weird.
We saw Kevin Bacon lots of times, and I really didn't give a shit at all.
I really wanted to say I loved your work in Friday the 13th, but I thought he might get mad at me.
Yeah. He's a very small man.
Wow. In stature. He's not that. He's about what I expected.
Yeah, Kira Sedgwick's got some curls, man.
What?
She's got some curly hair.
That's a weird way to say that.
Why? She's got curls.
No one says that. No one says that. Wow, she's got some real curls on her.
I don't know.
I mean her hair.
Speaking of attractive ladies, Natalie Zay is super hot in real life. Sorry, awkward. Bridget's making a frowny face at me now.
That's fine. Why don't you marry Natalie Zay?
Why don't you marry Kevin Williamson?
I don't think
he wants to marry me.
Well, I don't think Natalie Zay wants to marry me.
Well, I guess we're stuck with each other.
I guess so. I guess so.
Do we need to pause the recording again?
No. No. We're fine.
Should we talk about the show?
We still have
only seen the premiere, which we watched at the
pretty
party.
Pretty bad.
I wanted to like it.
It's pretty. Let's just say it's Kevin Bacon, probably not his best work.
Acting-wise. Or Kevin Williamson.
Definitely not Kevin Williamson's best writing.
Because he's involved in it, like, I want to keep watching it, but, like, because of the pilot, I don't want to keep watching it. Yeah. Although the pilot ended more interestingly than it began.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, curious to see how the show plays out as, like, a problem-solving, like, a puzzle.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, what's gonna happen?
What pieces are we gonna get each week that help us solve this puzzle?
What's this love triangle between Kevin Bacon, James Purfoy, and Natalie Zay gonna turn out to be?
Absolutely not interesting.
Because that's what has been going on.
Lately. Absolutely not interesting.
So, sorry.
But the
we saw Kevin
the premise
Riley.
Is it's a serial killer.
Yeah.
Who is a professor of literature, who is an Edgar Allan Poe.
Well, you see, Bridget.
Expert. And so he has
Poe
a lot of
said that the eyes
meanings,
were the window to the soul.
As does everyone in the
as
world.
As does every
like,
person.
And it seems to me that, like, and I don't know, I've never worked in television, I've never written a show, so I don't know how they do
sure.
it. But it seems
over
to me
here
that
in
they, like,
flyover country.
It seems to me they could consult some professor.
Yeah.
Like, some literature professor at some university.
Be like, did Poe actually say that
eyes were the window just, to the like, soul? Tell us some things that, like, lit professors would know about Poe. Maybe they purposely didn't do that because they're, like, thinking about who their audience is and they
yeah.
have to keep it at a level that's, like,
this simple. Is sophisticated,
but, like,
but also killing.
It's, it, everything that they mentioned about Poe seemed like something that I would have written in a 7th grade report about, like, the Raven.
You're right. Yeah.
So, like, that was really distracting.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, made it, like, even more unbelievable of a premise.
Right.
Than it was.
Yeah.
So the serial killer is in jail.
Yeah.
But he's killing from behind jail because he's developed all these followers and getting them to do stuff for him.
Right.
So that part I think is actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see where that goes. By the end, and here's one thing I'll say about the pilot. There were moments that legitimately scared me.
Yeah.
Like I got scared. It was creepy. I thought it was, I don't know. So.
Yeah.
And I think
we'll
in
see.
General, Kevin Williamson does that well.
Kevin Williamson was a very gracious person, IRL, so I'm happy about that. The show itself is,
I didn't love
great.
It. But you know what else I didn't love at the beginning?
Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I mean, so.
It could turn into something. I feel like it has potential if it just, like, revels in being ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, but the pilot did not give me, like, any
sense that
it was going
to... It seemed like we
were
taking it very seriously.
You're right. The pilot did not feel like this could be fun.
It's a very serious show. Yeah.
But, like, especially, like, it did not feel like a romp, even though, like, I feel like James Purfoy wanted it to go there.
Yeah.
But, like, but then also it's like, oh, yeah, but also this chick's going to stab her own eyeballs out, which is gross. And, yeah. Anyway, we have a few minutes left before we hit the 1 hour point. Should we talk briefly about Boardwalk Empire catching
up? Yeah, so we've been playing a little game of catch up. What season are we in now?
We are almost done with season 2. We only have one episode left
of
season 2.
Can we watch it tonight?
Sure.
I love Boardwalk Empire. I have nothing. I've been kind of a Debbie Downer, I guess, this podcast. I've got a lot of opinions, a lot of negative
Don't
stuff
we
to
all?
Say. Except for Bunheads, but I couldn't, I don't know, was good. But, I have nothing bad to say about Boardwalk Empire. I love everything about this show.
Yeah,
and
me too.
This is a okay, so, going back to, like, character growth, like, this is also a show full of, like, flawed characters.
Mm.
And in some ways, maybe more obviously flawed characters.
Right.
Than those in, like, Girls and,
Enlightened.
But even though they haven't necessarily, like, grown in a sense that they've progressed, like they've all like it's been fun to see these characters change over the course of 2 seasons and they've all changed in interesting ways for the better or for the worse,
right,
or neutral, but they're but like stuff is happening and like I love this show. I am so happy that one of the more recent developments, plot-wise, is that Agent Van Alden, his drowning that other agent in the first season is finally a thing that we're, like, addressing again. And, like, it actually makes me, like, really, like, dig the show and, like, want to, like, high-five the writers of the show. Like, that, like...
Mm-hmm.
That, like, they didn't just let it go. That it's actually been, like, there.
Yeah.
Waiting for, like, the right moment to come back. And now is it. And, like, I'm just, like... I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know that this was, like, planned from the beginning. But, like, I was kind of disappointed when that happened. And then it's, like, and now it's over.
Mm-hmm. It could have been, like, Landry and Tyra.
Right. We're, like, that was weird. We're just going like, to
remember that?
But, no, this is a thing that, like, he has to answer for. And it also kind of follows with, like, the, like, Van Alden's own personal, like, set of morals, everyone has to answer for the sins that they commit.
Right.
So this is, like,
him. But he's not really answering to it.
No.
He's running
so when
away.
He's finally faced with, like, answering for this thing, yeah, he, like, takes the gun, shoots the attorney in the leg, and runs away. I don't know. Who's going to get the baby?
See,
I don't know.
The base level of Boardwalk Empire, I just really enjoy being in the Boardwalk Empire world. It's like a meticulously designed, curated world where everybody speaks in such like a measured way that makes me just feel really like
and you're in love with
comfortable. I am. I really, really like. She's really pretty, and she has a really nice voice, and she's a really nice person, and, like, I want
her
to
But she's becoming
succeed.
More and more corrupt.
I know,
she's
but,
blinded
like,
by her
she,
wealth.
She is, and that's my probably my favorite part of the show, is, like, her changing, and, like, her daughter has polio now, and it's sad, and but she's, like, trying to buy her way out of it, which, like...
And she tried to do it with the doctor.
Just a nice woman
from Ireland.
She
couldn't do it with the doctor, and she tried to do it with the church.
She never would have done it when she was back in her homeland in Ireland.
That was an interesting, like, juxtaposition between the doctor and the priest, is that, like, the doctor is the one who's saying, like, this has nothing to do with money. Like, some things are out of our hands.
Right? Yeah,
and he's the one who's kind of, like,
really
now
like
we just have to have
too.
Faith. And the priest is the one who's, like, taking, like, the kind of anti-faith role and, like, accepts her money and is, like, talks about, like, having to, like, if you want something from God, give something to God in return. Like, so that, I like the kind of those two characters working against each other.
I think that's a good point that it's a show,
there are a lot of little things
it's
like
just
that,
like a meticulously put together, thoughtful show in a way that I think... It kind of echoes Mad Men in that way, but I feel like it's...
But I like it so much better than Mad Men.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's not a boys' club.
Yeah.
They're, like...
I don't know.
I guess maybe that's not fair to say about Mad Men, but, like... Because there's Joan and...
But I feel like the difference to me is, like, Nucky Thompson is not... I feel like Don Draper is just a terrible person that I don't... I probably feel the same way about Don Draper as you do about Amy Jellicoe, and, like, I don't care what happens to him. I, like, hope he dies, because I'm just, like, sick of him! but,
hey,
like...
Did you guys watch the Super Bowl? How about the lights going off?
Yay. Crazy, huh?
Yeah.
But I feel like Nucky Thompson is an interesting, like, he's maybe trying to do the right thing...
Mm-hmm.
In his circumstances, but I don't think he's, like, a purely bad guy.
No.
Or even, like, a bad guy at all. He just does bad stuff.
He did seem a little less sympathetic in the recent scene with Margaret.
Yeah.
At, like, the, close to the end of season 2, where she was alluding to the fact that she might testify against him, and he basically, like, grabbed her and was like...
Yeah. But, you know, pressure. The walls are closing.
I get that, but, like, that was, like, it seemed like a sudden turn in personality
power,
for him.
Like, corrupts.
We remember like, Nucky is, like, a corrupt guy.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he can be almost, like, overly sympathetic.
Yeah.
Especially in this world where all the other bad guys seem so much worse than him. Like, yeah. We don't really see Nicky
when
get his
hands
dirty.
When it's him compared to, like, I don't know, Jimmy Darmody. Or, yeah, Al Capone. Yeah. And one last thing for me about Boardwalk Empire is we're watching it on demand on HBO, which, like, if you need to catch up on Boardwalk Empire and you subscribe to HBO, I would very highly suggest that you don't DVR the episodes when they're on the air, but do the HBO on demand, because each episode ends with a little vignette from the writers of the show.
And they're actually pretty great.
Yeah, they're really, really fascinating. And also, like, it's really funny because, like, every episode, like, the writers always talk about, like, well, like, how the episode title ties into the themes of mm-hmm. the episode. And, like, it actually make, like, I mean, we're a TV podcast.
It sounds
podcast.
Nerdy, but it's actually really interesting.
Right. We're, actually, Georgia Peach's reference, but it also fills in the holes of, like, the historical context of the show, which is also
And it's just,
fun.
Like, I don't want to, like, suggest that other shows we've been talking about or other shows in general are not this meticulously crafted.
Right.
But there is something special, it seems, about Boardwalk Empire of, like, how much thought goes into every single part of every episode.
Right.
And, like, with making it historically accurate and working in characters that would have been, like, real historical figures, like, I don't know. Yeah.
And just, like, one very last thing is this is the second straight season where it's the arc of the season. And before I was talking about how I need every show to be something that's breaking the mold of what a traditional, quote unquote, traditional show needs to be. But this is a show that does that kind of golden age of television, quote unquote, structure of a season really, really well, in that it builds to a conclusion that's like the anti-parenthood conclusion that is like, it's really, it feels like it's culminating to something really, really big. And this is the second season in a row of the two seasons that's felt like that to me. So that's to its credit. If there's a show that deserves binge watching, it's definitely a show like Boardwalk Empire that really, truly does build toward something that is a cohesive season.
Yeah. And the 20s are going to end soon.
I know.
And I'm excited, like,
if you thought the
60s
ending was going to be crazy, wait until the stock market crash.
And the end of Prohibition. Which is basically, the livelihood of all like,
that's, for as much ink that's been spilled about, like, the Mad Men will end at the end of the 60s. Like, I feel like I'm more interested to see, like, what happens at the end of Prohibition and, like, when the stock market crashes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
because the show's going to keep going, right? Or is it going to end?
I would guess. I don't think there's ever been anything said about, like, how the show, like, any particular timeline like that. But I would not be surprised if the show kind of ended on, like, the stock market crash, which would make a lot of sense and would be very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And
unlike Parenthood, little Emily Schroeder did lose her legs to polio.
Right.
I feel like if that
were...
But I'm so trained by watching shows like Parenthood that I kept thinking, like, of course she's going to recover.
Oh, yeah, she'll
walk. Of course she's going to recover.
Yeah.
No.
Which
is How kind of where Mrs. That? Schroeder was, right? Like, she was just in complete awe.
She was probably watching Parenthood.
Probably.
Is there an old-timey version of Parenthood in the 1920s? No, I don't think so.
I don't think they had TV.
I know, but the equivalent.
Little Orphan Annie?
As Chris was talking about how, on my birthday, he was talking about he and I are the only two people who are Mayflower descendants, so...
In
the world. Well, Chris and I share the fact that we are both descendants of the Mayflower, and how he was saying how our ancestors were on the boat together talking about, like, the 15th century version of, like, whatever Aaron Sorkin's.
Except the Mayflower wasn't in the 15th century.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
16th century. It was in the 1500s.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Mayflower was in the 1500s?
Yes.
Are you sure it wasn't the 1600s?
Yes, we're not going to look it up, though, because we're over an hour.
All right. You tell us, viewers.
You tell us, listeners.
Would you like to see a Parenthood-esque show set on the Mayflower? I would.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
What I was saying is that whatever Aaron Sorkin's version of the newsroom was in the 1500s, our ancestors were making fun of it.
Aaron Sorkin wasn't born yet.
Aaron Sorkin's ancestors, Bridget. You don't like me anymore. I'm sorry. All right.
All right. Bunheads.
That has been this week's episode of Blogular Radio.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Catch us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Google Plus. Yeah, we're on Google Plus. We're not on LinkedIn. We're not on Vine yet.
What's Vine? Is that a thing with the kids?
That's a video thing, you know. Not on Instagram yet.
What would we do if we were on Instagram?
I don't know. I'm just rattling off social networks here.
All right.
But you can catch us on all of those things. Find more at theblogulator.com. Again, check out Netflix. And I think
That's
about it.
I think we've covered everything we can cover.
And
next time, we're going to talk exclusively about Con Air versus Speed.
Okay.
So tweet at us with your opinions.
When we become a movie podcast.
I think we should be allowed to talk about movies that are frequently shown on TV.
Okay. Pitch it to the producer.
Who's the producer?
Pitch it to the man.
We don't have a man.
We do have a man. His name is Fancy Pants. Gangster. All right.
You'll be hearing from me.
Thanks for listening. Catch you next week.
Our opinions
are
valid.